So, Father, Lord, thank you for your presence again. We don't take that for granted. And, Lord, I just pray that our hearts tonight and our ears would be open to hear you. God, as we've come here, we've come wanting to receive. We've come wanting to be encouraged. We've come wanting to be lifted up. And maybe we've come and we don't know why we showed up today, but we did. And I believe that it's not on accident, that it's purposeful, and that you have something for all of us, even me. So, Lord, I just pray that you take over, that you would move in this place, that you'd soften every heart, and that you would open even the eyes to see new things in you tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So I was looking at this. I've just been looking at this story and reading this story. And I don't know about you or how you feel, but I would say that we're somewhat, maybe not you, but the world around you is somewhat in a bit of an identity crisis. Would you agree? Would you say that some of us, the world around you, there's this anything goes, it doesn't matter, whatever is fine, feels good, feels right to you, go for it. Do what makes you happy. And I've been challenged in this, and as I was just thinking and praying today, I was really being challenged with this thought. And even for us in the church, maybe you're not there, but maybe you're really struggling to believe all that God says you are. Maybe you're really struggling to believe the truth that he's speaking over you day after day after day. Maybe you're struggling to believe the things that are really in his word. And so I've come with some just excitement, and we're going to just knock out the devil with some truth tonight. Because I will, for real, because, and I get a little crazy, but I just feel that because I'm so tired of the enemy literally just taking people out. And it's all because they have no idea who they are. They have no idea whose they are. They have no idea the power and the authority that's on the inside of them. And so what I've begun to see happen is in our world and in the world around me and in people is what happens is because we don't know and because life happens to all of us, nobody's exempt, right? So life happens to all of us. We're going through trials. We're going through situations. There's things that we're facing. And for a lot of people, we're just saying, I'm out. I'm out. I'm done. For a lot of us, people that have grown up in the church, people that have been raised in godly homes, people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, people that know that God is real are simply in this fight and they're saying, I'm out. But I want to encourage you with truth this morning, and I pray that a fire would start in your heart to get back on board, that you would understand God's will for your life, not only what he's called you to do, but who he's called you to be. Because what you're called to do in this earth is great. That's awesome. You should pursue your purpose and your destiny in life. But if you're pursuing that and you have no idea who you are, you have no idea what the Lord says about you, you have no idea the thoughts that he thinks about you, you're going to run out of energy and time. You're going to be burnt out and you're going to be like, how did I get here? But I believe that tonight, if we would allow truth to sink into our hearts and come to a place to say, all right, Lord, who do you say that I am? What do you say about me? I believe that those things can carry us through. Those things can carry us through when our worlds are crazy. So I want us to look at this story in Luke 15. And we're going to just, Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And we're going to read the whole thing, 11 to 32. So just bear with me. Now, this is a parable, and the illustration of this was to really show God's heart to sinners and to those who are lost. But I believe there's something hidden in here that we're going to talk about that we can take out of this. So it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want a share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found.'" So I want us to really look at, because I think sometimes when we highlight this text, we do look at the fact that, you know, he was lost, he did all of this and he was lost, and now he came back and we celebrate that. And that's great. But what I wanted to look at was the two sons. I wanted to look at the two sons because I found that they were in a little bit of their own identity crisis and having some identity issues there. And so with the younger son, he wastes everything that his father gives him in wild living. He says, "I'm taking what you have, Dad. Give me that. I'm going out partying it up, doing whatever I want to do." So he wastes all of that. So then a famine hits the land where he is, and he realizes, wow, I have nothing left. I literally spent everything that I had, and now I have nothing. So he asks a local farmer if he could work for him. So he realizes while he's working for this farmer that he's still starving. He's working, he's working, he's working. He's like, the pigs that I'm feeding have more food than I. I'm still starving. And I love that it says, when he came to his senses, he said to himself, "Okay, at home, if I just go home, I know that I'll be taken care of. If I can just get home, I know that there's still, I can be a servant, but I know that there's still enough food for me to live there. So I'll return home." So what he asks his father is, he says, "Dad, can I basically become your servant? Because I know I messed it up big time, but can I become your servant? Can I work and do whatever I need to do just so that I can eat?" Because he's shameful of what he did. But his father throws a huge party. He throws a huge, huge party for him. So then we look at the older son. Now the older son continued working. He did everything his father asked. He did the right things. He stayed faithful, and he worked for his father. He said even as they were having the party, he was out working, and when he got home, he came home to a big celebration, wondering, what is this about? What is this? they go to explain that the younger son had came back, and they're celebrating him. Oh, he gets mad. You mean to tell me I've been out here working, y'all in here partying? So he gets upset. He gets mad, right? And his father tries to get him to come in, but he failed to realize that everything that his father had, he had access to. It was already his. So we have two people, a younger son and an older son, two people that have made different choices, are living different lives, but they're missing a huge chunk of their identity and what this actually looks like. See, the younger one is saying, you know what? I messed it up big time. I messed it up real big. I just spent everything that you gave me. And so now, to make it up, let me just be a servant. Let me become a slave now because I messed it up. I'm not worthy. He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Make me one of your servants. So the younger son, his identity was wrapped up and it was tied in his sins and mistakes. That whether he did right or whether he did wrong was what he was attaching his identity to. He said, I'm not worthy. Because I messed up, I'm not worthy of being called your son. So I wonder which one we identify with. Then we look at the older son. And he's like, I'm working hard. I'm doing everything. I've never refused anything you asked me to do. I'm on the fields and I've stayed with you. I'm faithful. I'm the good child. But he failed to realize that everything his father had was his already. So his identity was attached to his service. His identity was attached to what he was doing for God. What he was doing, what he was working and putting his hands to. He was identifying himself with that. Because what really came out is when the younger one was being celebrated, he realized, wait, I've been here and you've not ever celebrated or acknowledged me. I've been serving hard and you've never thrown a big party for me. So I wonder, and I think that sometimes we fall in a little bit of both where we attach our identity. Become blinded and our identities can be attached to our sin and our mistakes. And we say, oh, because I did this, I am this. Because I did this, because I threw it all away. I wasted everything that you gave me. I didn't obey you. I didn't listen to you. I must be this. So what we end up doing, but guess what? They're still sons, right? They're still his kids. So what happens is we take that truth and we say, you know what? I'm not worthy of that. We kick it to the curb. We say, I'm not worthy of that. Just make me a servant. Make me a slave. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'll get back with you. I'll get back on track. Although he had access to what his father had, he was a son in the house, and his father embraced him. It said he saw his son far off, and he ran to him. He ran to him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. Because it didn't even matter what he had done. What mattered is that he realized that he needed to come home. It mattered that he realized that he was lost. And yes, he gave it. Yes, he messed up big time. Yes, he gave away literally everything that his father gave him. But he's like, I gotta come home. And even when he came home, he still was like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this. Yeah, God, I call myself saved. I'm a Christian. I believe in you. But I'm just not worthy. But his father shows him, no, you're worthy. You're worth it. And you're worth even more. So let's go ahead and just throw a huge party for you. Let's throw a huge party for you. Some of us, I just really feel like some of us, we cannot move forward because we are continuing to convince God that we're not worthy of this life. You continue to say, well, Lord, you don't understand, like what I did, remember in 1984 and this happened and I did this and I was not even alive in 1984. But we go and we say all of this stuff and we're just like, Lord, I'm not worthy. So then you're like, well, just tell me, God, what do I need to do? Do I need to cry? Do I need to fast for 150 days and eat nothing? Do I need to spend all day in my room just seeking the word? Like, what do I need to do? And he's just like, listen, I just want to hug you. Like, he's just like, I just want to love on you. You don't have to do anything. You're back. Yay. Come here. But some of us, we will not let our mistakes, we can't get to that point in him because our mistakes are replayed in our minds. Over and over and over. There's not a day you wake up and you think about it and you feel like, oh, I feel so this. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't have did this, or it's because I did this or I said this. And guess what that's doing? That's robbing you of your identity. That's robbing you of your identity because you're not believing, you've no longer believed that you're deserving and worthy to be a child. You believe that you should be a slave now. And that's wrong. That's not the truth. That's not what he said about you. That's not what he says day after day. And then so then we have this older son. So maybe we identify with the older son and we're saying, you know what? I've been serving. I've been saved my whole life. I've been walking with you, walking with you, walking with you. And XYZ has happened. All this is crazy. All of this is happening. And still, Lord, as I've been walking with you, still nothing's happened. Or I haven't got there yet. Or I haven't received that yet. And we think that that's attached to a serving. So if you serve, if you do this, I'll give you this. That's not how it works. He declared you to be a son and a daughter way before you did anything. Jesus, the whole point of the gospel, the whole reason that he gave his whole life, Jesus sacrificed his life so that sin would be in the past and we could move forward into the things of God. So we don't have to keep going back. We don't have to keep thinking about it. We don't have to earn our way. We don't have to try and, okay, well, Lord, just tell me what to do. Or on the flip side, Lord, I've been doing this, this, and this because this is what I felt is right. And he's like, no matter what, you're still a child. You're still mine. And what happens is when we don't fully understand that, when things come to shake our identities, because it will happen. It's probably already, I'm sure it's happened. There are things that come to shake your identity and knock you off your feet. And you have the authority and the power to partner with truth or partner with lies. You do. And because that's just when I get like, woo, devil, you're dumb. Like, man, because like I just can't stand. The enemy will just literally go crazy on you in your mind and your thinking, all of these things. And he knows that if he can get you to a place where you partner with his lies, you're going to be dead in here. But I speak, you're waking up tonight. You're waking up. Every bone in your body is waking up tonight. So, where are we at? Okay. I love that the Father's heart, and you can truly see that in here. I love that he says that when he saw him a long way off, he ran. He saw him coming and he was filled with love and compassion and he ran to his son and he embraced him and kissed him. I would ask, and I'm so thankful for this church and I'm so thankful for all the leaders that have taught this because I've really grabbed a hold of this and I still just try to walk this out in my daily life. But all the time, it's the two most important things are what you believe about God and what you believe about yourself. And so I would wonder, and I would ask, what's your picture of God? What does the picture look like? I want you to think about it. Like, what's the picture? Like, what's the mental picture you get when you think about our dad? What does he look like to you? How does he communicate? How does he talk to you? Because we all know that sometimes we will attach that to what our earthly fathers have done, and we'll connect that, and because we've had strict fathers or because we've had this type of father, we automatically think, Father, okay, well, God, you must be like this too. But I think we miss a lot of times that we miss that God is actually, he's really sensitive. He's really sensitive, and his heart is really tender towards us because we're his kids. And I have to relate this because I have a child. I have a 2-year-old son. And one, well, so funny, I was telling my wife the other day, or probably a couple months ago, what happened. We woke up, and so he wakes up super early. Well, I guess it's like 7 in the morning. That's early to me. Whew, Jesus, coffee. Thank you, Lord. So he wakes up. He'll call my name. He'll just scream it. He's not the type of like chill, like let me just chill and I'm play in my crib. He's like, Dada, Dada, Dad. Literally, this happens every morning. She'll tell you it happens every morning. And she's always like, he doesn't want me. He wants you. He's saying Dada. Oh, okay, really? Okay. So every morning, he screams it. And one day, I remember, I got him. I was really tired, too. I was really tired. So we just sat on the couch. This never happens. He just cuddled up into me, just laid on my chest and just cuddled up. And I remember that moment because anyone that knows Aiden, he runs around. He's quick. He doesn't like to stay still. He just runs around. But he crawled in my lap and he just cuddled and just laid on my chest. And this has never happened. And I was telling her, I was like, it was so weird because instantly I just started crying. I just started crying, and I was like, what? What is this? I was literally like, what? I cried, what? Lord, what is happening? And it was so awesome because the Lord was like, that's how I feel about you. That's how he feels about us. Every day, though. Like, that never changes. Like, I don't think we understand that never changes. Every day, his heart is for us. Every day, he's overwhelmed with love for us. Every day, he's filled with compassion. Every single day for us. Whether you're 14, whether you're 2, whether you're 72, it doesn't matter. He's filled with love and compassion for you every day. Every day. So I would challenge us in our hearts and in our minds on how we think. And what we really believe about him. What does he look like to us? What does he really look like to us? Because I believe that if we believe that he is just this big, mean God waiting to backhand you in your mouth the moment you do something, we walk around fearful, like, oh, I can't do anything. Then that's when we get into, like, legalism and, oh, let me just serve. And if I do this right, then Lord, okay, we're good. But if not, then we're not. Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. And guess what? That's slavery. That's not actually freedom. You're not actually free if you have to tiptoe around with God and be like, oh, Lord, I don't know. What should I do? I don't know. I did this wrong. Are you okay? Are we good? Are we, what? Define the relationship. DTR, like, what's happening? And he's like, no, it never changed. Yes, you made a dumb mistake. Yes, we got to work through that. Yes, we've got to deal with that. But you're still mine. You're still my kid. And that's never going to change. So how do we just challenge us in our thinking on that? One of the things that I've really learned, some of these points, just last few things, and I want us to, it's going to look a little different tonight, just so you know, I want us to do some things. But one of the things that have truly helped me to just walk this out in my identity, partnering with truth, there's a few things. First thing is I have to recall and remember the gospel. And I think that's something that can become overrated for us sometimes. Because you're like, well, I've heard it. Gee, we were all created, blah, blah, blah. We were created in his image. And then sin came. And then, and then, and then. And we just get so like, it's just, that's what happened. But I have to challenge myself to remember that every day, just in my mind, and maybe not the full of it, but just pieces of like, oh, remembering, like, oh, Jesus, you died for me. Oh, okay. Whew. Like, when my identity's challenged, I have to remember that, no, originally, like, you made me in your image. I was made in your image. And you declared me, you declared that I was good when you made me. Yes, sin came in, but oh, shoot, you had a solution for sin. Jesus already came and did away with that. So although I will struggle, although sin may happen and occur in my life, that doesn't mean that there's not a solution for that. The solution, the answer is Jesus. His blood paid for that. So I say, okay, I come with the Lord with a repentant heart and forgiveness. I seek him. I move on. And I move forward. I move forward into knowing, okay, all right, Lord, you did all of this for me. Not only did you just pay for sin, not only was your blood and you were beaten and you were given up for me, this was not just for sin. It was so that I could live a new life. I could take on a new identity. So don't just stop at sin. Don't just stop at he paid for my sin. Yes, he did. But he also paid that you'd live a new life. He also paid that you would become new, that you'd become a new person, and that you could walk that out day by day by day. Not saying that you would walk that out perfectly, but he said that this is what I want. I'm giving it myself, my son, for your sins, and so that you can be new. So I have to remind myself of the gospel and what he's done, because that speaks so much more about who I am than anything else. It speaks so much more about my position in the Lord. It speaks so much more about what he says and what he thinks about me. He thought so much that he would send his own to die for me so that I could live. And I feel like that's, for some of us, that doesn't, we don't get moved as much by that. We're not moved by the gospel message because maybe we've just heard it so many times. But it's like that's all we need. Like, that's all we need to really say and talk about it and preach is the gospel. You could hear that over and over and over. And like I said, if you're open, you'll get new things every time. But it's so key to our identity. It's so key to understanding now who we are. So I have to recall that. I have to understand and know who I am and what the Lord says about me and understanding the gospel. The next thing for me that is huge is I have to speak truth over myself. I have to. Defeat reigns in our lives when we partner with lies. So if we're walking around defeated all the time, day in, day out, heavy, discouraged, day in, day out, that means some part, some area in our lives and in our hearts, we're not actually partnering with the full truth of God. Because if you were, that discouragement and anxiety and worry and fear, that's not the Lord's. That's not what he has to give us. That's not what he's like, here, I want to give you anxiety today. Whew. Let's put a little stress on your plate. That's not what he has for us. But we're human and we're alive, and so we'll experience those emotions. But I wonder what it would look like if we just started partnering with truth in those areas and just started slapping some word on it, or just hearing from the Lord, like, what do you say about this? What do you say? What does the Lord say about who you are? You could let somebody else tell you. You could let your past tell you. You could let your mistakes tell you. But I believe, and this is what I feel tonight, like, I believe that the Lord wants to tell you what he thinks about you. The Lord wants to, he wants to tell you how he feels about you. He wants to tell you who you are. Because I think what we would find and understand is that what we think and feel about ourselves is way worse. Than what he thinks and feels about us. We are like the worst on ourselves. The worst, like literally. And he's like, what? Where are you getting this from? I love you. I created you. You were mine. You mess up? I made a way for that. Come back. Come hang out with me. Come chill. Let's be friends. Like, this is what he wants with us. So I have to speak truth over myself in all of these different areas. I love Romans 8:35-39. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life nor angels or demons, fears of today or worries of tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed through Christ Jesus. This is truth that we have to apply to our hearts and in our minds daily. Because it is the truth. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from his love. His love is always for you. His love's always reaching out to you. His love's always available to you. So we have to remind ourselves. And then look in Galatians 5:1. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. It was his blood. It was his blood that made us free. He said, don't get bound again. I already did this. Don't get bound again in focusing on the law and all the rules and the regulations and the standards and everything. He's like, I did away with the law. I just call you to walk into this freedom relationship with me now. Partner with me in this. Stick with me in this. Allow me to walk with you in this life. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us. Guys, this is the truth that we have to fill our minds with. This is the truth that comes straight from here that we have to constantly tell ourselves, you know what? No, I was created anew. When he created me, he made me a masterpiece. He made me a masterpiece. And he said I was new. And he planned things for me to do, not out of trying to get to that place, but because that's already who I am. So these are things we have to fill our minds with. Colossians 2:11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So I have to spend time getting my mind right. I have to spend time allowing that truth to just play in my mind. Because if truth is not playing in your mind, lies are playing in your mind. Because they're all connected to experiences that we've had. They're all connected to things that we've gone through. They're all connected to struggles or our past. So tonight, what's playing in your mind? What are you partnering with? Are you believing that he really says that you're new? Do you really believe that you're new? Do you really believe that your entire past, no matter what you did, all of that has been wiped away through the blood of Jesus, and now he's called you to live a new life and you can't actually walk in that? Do you believe that? Because the challenge with it is sometimes we don't. And I'll say sometimes I don't. Sometimes I struggle to believe that. But it's his truth. It's this that brings me back. It's this that reminds me. So I have to recall the gospel. I have to remember what Jesus did for me. I have to speak truth over myself. And I have to spend time in his presence. I'm going to call the band back out because we're going to spend time in his presence. And the reason I have to spend time in his presence is worship is, and we all know, worship is so powerful. There are things that happen in worship that can't happen any other way. Like, I can't really explain or fathom. And I think the Lord has done that on purpose so that we just are continuing pursuing every time. But things happen in worship that just wouldn't happen any other way. And I have to spend time in his presence because what I realize, although worship's not about you, worship's not about making you feel good, I realize that as I exalt him, though, and as I make it about him, he always brings me up with him. And so the reason that we can worship freely and spend time with him, and the reason we feel good after, is because he brings us up with him. Not saying that you're a God, not saying any of that. But I'm saying as you make him big in your mind and in your heart, and you declare that he's wonderful, you declare that he's good, you declare that he's Father, you declare that he's awesome and amazing, and you start declaring and speaking who he is, he now takes your hand and is like, you're with me. Come on up. You're my kid. We're in this together. So we have to get in a place where we're spending time with him and allowing worship to cultivate in our hearts. Because worship changes our hearts and his word changes our mind. So we have to have both. We have to have both because it keeps us balanced. So tonight, I don't know what we're going to do. That's the fun stuff. When you're just like, Lord, whatever you want. But my heart is that through this you understand that your identity is not attached to what you do for God or don't do for God. Your identity is not attached to your past, your sin, or your mistakes. Your identity is solely wrapped in you believing and knowing that you're a child of the King. So I believe that if we were to allow ourselves to rise up to that truth in our minds, we could walk in the fullness of who we are, who we're called to be, and walk in the fullness of the things that God has for us. Because that's what sets us off, remember? When something happens, something occurs, we partner with lies, we make a mistake, we fall down, we struggle, then we automatically are like, shrink to that. And we start disqualifying. God, you can't use me. I did this. I had this thought. I had this experience. I'm not worthy. Just tell me what I need to do now. Just make me a slave. Make me a servant. Tell me what I need to do, and then maybe I'll get up to that level. And he's like, no, you're already there. I want you to believe it. He's like, I want you to believe in your mind that you're already there. That you can walk this out with me. That you can be all that I've called you to be, no matter what has ever happened to you in your life. No matter what decisions you've ever made, you can walk in the fullness of who he's called you to be. So I want us to do something. Close your eyes. I'm going to just let the Lord minister to you. We get so caught up in wanting to just, what's the next thing? What do we do? We're just going to wait. Some of you feel like you're dying. Some of you feel completely lost and confused. And the Lord wants you to know tonight that He's never left you, and He's not going anywhere. The option's not giving up. You don't have the option to give up. You don't have the option to quit. Because He's with you. He already says that victory is yours. That wall, that mountain, He says that's already been crumpled. That's already crumbled. I need you to see it though. The hurdles that you think that you're running straight into and falling every time, He says, no, I'm jumping them with you. We're making it every time, every time. Come on, I wonder if we could just make an altar in our hearts. If you want to come up to the altar, if you just want to lay out where you are, I don't care. I just want the Lord to continue to minister to you in this moment. There's no more striving, there's no more performing. The Lord asks you and accepts you as a child, as His. He declares you His. There's nothing that you could do or could have done that could have changed that. It was always that way. So we rest in that tonight. I want to pray for those of you that feel like, because I feel this strong, I just want to pray for those of you that feel like you're dying. Like you feel like your heart is like a rock. And you feel like there's been things that have occurred or happened in your life that's just hardened your heart. And it's just made you feel just uncertain. If that's you, I just want everybody to just stand. If you can, just stand. If you're out on the floor or whatever, that's fine. But if you can, just stand to your feet. You tonight and you're just saying, I need prayer, that's how I'm feeling, that's what's going on. I just need to partner with truth. I need to just allow these lies to be set aside, to be actually demolished and destroyed in my mind. And I need to believe what God says about me. If that's you and you just need, I just want you to come to the altar. Just be bold. Just come. Just come. Just come and just allow the Lord to minister to you. Just sing this out. Come on, let's just let this song minister to us. Come on, sing it out.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
That's it, keep coming. Just keep coming to the altar. Worship.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. No longer a slave to fear. Yeah, I am a child.
Come on, let's sing that out. If you need prayer, you can just come to the front and just altar workers, pastors, staff, just begin praying for people that are up here. So all of anybody that just needs prayer, just come on up and they'll just pray with you. But I'm gonna challenge you out there, because I really just want us to engage in this moment. I want you to find somebody, find two or three people, and I want you to just pray with them. Challenge you to be bold. Challenge you to be bold and engage. You don't know what somebody's going through next to you. You don't know what people are dealing with around you. You have no idea what's happening. I'm challenging you just to just step out of your comfort zone and pray with some people around you. Speak life into them. Speak identity into them. Life, identity, purpose.
Oh,
So I want to, you guys can just keep praying, keep worshiping where you are. If you need to leave, you're dismissed. I'm just dismiss you to go. But if you want to stay and just linger and be ministered to, you can continue in that for a few moments.